Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tesvav, and we're holding six lines from the top of the Umud, where the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah, U'b'chol mokim ein moichrim behem agasa v'chuli. As you recall, we are not dealing nowadays in the dafim with the din of lefnei idehen and the issues of avodah zarah, but instead, in our Mishnah we had yesterday, two other concerns. The first concern was about selling a behemah daka to a goy, and we said that it depends on the minig hamokoim. Some places they did allow for sales, and some places they did not allow for sales. What was the chashash? You recall we discussed in the Gemara that some idolaters were unfortunately so depraved that they used to go and live with these behemoth dakois, and therefore don't sell them a behemah daka because it's an isher of lefnei iver leisitein mechshol. If you know that the reason why he's going to go and buy this behemah daka is for revere purposes, for living with this animal, by selling him the animal, you're facilitating it and you're oivan lefnei iver. So there are two minhagim, some places that were more machmer, some not. Not that they were machmer, it really depends on how depraved the pagans were. If these pagans were so depraved that they lived with animals, you're not allowed to sell them an animal. However, if those places where there were besra mentioned, they weren't as depraved, then you could sell them a behemah after all, and not because they're groisa tzaddikim. The reason why they wouldn't want to live with their animal is because it's their own animal, and he's choshesh shema te'oker. As a result of living with the animal may no longer reproduce and have children. Anyway, that was the first part of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah continued on. U'b'chol malkoim, ein moichim lehem beim agasa ayolim usyachim shleim ushvurim. Wherever you go, any mokim, you're now let us sell a behema gasa. Why can't you go and sell a behema gasa? So our Gemara tells us, Zok the Gemara, u'b'chol malkoim, ein moichim lehem agasa v'chuli, my time, nehid l'raviya loichai shinan, mavid beim alochachai shinan. Oh, we're not worried about raviya. Why not, we're not worried about Revia, says Rashi, even in all those places where the goyim were chos al behemtei shaloi tiyaker, they were very machbit to make sure not to live with their animals, because they didn't want their animal to lose productive systems and possibilities. But nevertheless, there was another chashash if you're dealing with behemah gasa. And the chashash is that he's going to do malacha with that animal. So vos is, he's allowed to do, after all, that's why you buy animals, to do malacha in the fields, to plow, etc. Zok the Gemara, we're talking about maybe he's going to do malacha on Shabbos. No, so what's the problem? After all, a behemah is not a yid. A behemah is allowed to do work on Shabbos. Just if a yid owns a behemah, then it says, of course, in the pasuk, Laman yinuach shorcha b'chamerecha, v'yinofish ben amoscha v'hager, you have also in the Seres HaDibrois, Zochres Yom Shabbos HaKadshoi, Shomus Yom Shabbos HaKadshoi, Av Tevin Chvitecha, Av Tomotum Techa, V'gercha Shberecha, Av Tevin Chvitecha, Av Techa Uvehem Techa. Even your behemoth, you're not allowed to allow doing work on Shabbos. Ah, but that's only when it belongs to you. If you're selling it to the goy, then it becomes a goyish behemoth. What's the problem? So Timura. So again, even though the Revi'i L'Chashin and Mavid, the goy is going to work with this animal on Shabbos. So what's the problem? Kim Dizavna, since he bought it, Kanya, now it's his. There's no problem with a goy doing malacha on Shabbos with his animal. Faket, a goy should do malacha, because otherwise, if you have a goy, Sheshovas as Chayim Misa, he wants to save his life, he should do work on Shabbos. Everything more gzeira mishum she'ela mishum schiris. The problem is a gzeira. What's a gzeira? If you're going to allow for a yid to go and sell a behemoth to a goy, and what happens if he cannot find any buyers, but he finds people that want to lease the animal or to borrow the animal, then they say, okay, fine, you know, you get lease payments, it's not as good as selling, but it's also income. Or if he's a gittin hashem, he wants to go and lend it. The problem is that goy is going to work with that behemah on Shabbos, and now it's a Jewish behemah because you're just borrowing it or leasing it from the yid. A Yiddish behemah is now let it do malacha on Shabbos. Frey Timura, what's the problem? She'ela kanya v'agra kanya. if you're a shoyl, or even if you happen to be a shoyl masachar, a sachir, because of the fact that you have a chrayis, specifically the gabi shoyl, you have a chrayis even for onsen. And even if you talk about a shoyl masachar, you're chayiv on geneva v'aveda. That being the case, you're koinit to the extent that you have all of these monetary obligations. And therefore the Gemara suggests, maybe therefore the animal belongs to the shoyl, or belongs to the sachir. Because if the animal has an oinus in the case of a shoyl, or a gnev aveh in the case of the sachir, he has to pay back the full amount of the animal. So in that respect, it belongs to him. If it belongs to him, vaita, what's the problem if you even rent or lend the animal to a goy? And halacha is kam v'kam, if you sell the animal to a goy, what's the problem? Therefore, elam arami bereid rav yeva. Gzeira mishum nisyuni. Oh, a new gzeira. The word nisyuni comes to the word nisoyoin. Nisoyoin, of course, is a test. What type of test? Friday afternoon, the goy comes in and says, I want to go and buy from you an animal. And he says, sure, no problem. Let's do it quickly. It's almost lechtzin time. I have to run home. I have to go to the mikveh. I have to prepare for Shabbos. Okay, we're going to do it quickly. So they are about to go and sign the sale agreement and about to pay over. And then the goy says at the last moment, you know what? Let me do one test drive just before Shabbos. Let's make sure that everything is okay, you know, that this animal is not weak, the animal is not about to have a heart attack. So I want to go and test out this animal. And it's Amalishki Yisacham, the Mali Shabbos of Erev Shabbos. The Omele and the buyer, the goy says, Tonasya Nile, let's try it out. Vishomale the kole, and the animal hears the coil of its owner, where the owner says, sure, take the animal around the block, no problem. The Ozla Machmose, and now this animal, in fact, goes around the block when he hears the call of its owner. And he's not just walking, because an animal is allowed to walk on Shabbos. But Rashi says they put a pekel on the back of the animal to go and see whether the animal is strong and fit and all the rest. And guess what? V'nichalei de tezel, and the balabus, the owner of the animal, is happy that the animal goes around the block with this masoi on its back. So that will hopefully clinch the deal. And guess what? Now I have a problem of mechamer. Mechamer is similar to the Isser of Shvises Behema. It's, however, on a heightened level. What do you mean a heightened level? Mechamer achar behemta b'shabes is chayiv chatas. Person allow his behema to go and do malacha as a result of the Jew speaking to it or saying out loud, yes, go for a test drive, go around with this pekel, and the behema goes with that pekel on Shabbos. Ay, 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 ay. We have now a situation where the animal can't bring a korban chatas, but the owner of the animal, the eater, is going to have to bring a korban chatas for the fact that his animal is working on Shabbos.
Because of the eat.
So now what happened? Yes, you have a problem, you have an issue, a question? Everybody okay? Good. So mechamer achar behemta is chayiv chatos. In other words, it rises to a level of one of the lamed tes malachas. And that being the case, since nisyuni would be osir with the chayiv chatos, because the yid doesn't want the animal to work on Shabbos. It's a shoygig. He doesn't realize it's Shabbos already. Otherwise, he would say, "Mister, go home and come back on Sunday morning." But bottom line is, what happens was, and therefore, the reason why you're not allowed to go and sell a behema to a goy is because I'm afraid that there will be times that you're going to close the sale on Erev Shabbos, somach lishkia, and he's going to want to do one last test drive, and the owner is going to be happy with that. In fact, he's going to speak out, yes, behema, go! Run around the block and let's see what you can do. So now it's going to happen that he's going to have his animals working on Shabbos. Therefore, don't allow for a sale. So the reason is not because of She'elo or Schiris. The reason is because of this Nisyuni. Why does the Gemara refer to this Mechamer Achar Behemtoi? Why does the Gemara just talk about generally Shvisas Behemtoi? So that's the Taptoisis talks about that. And the Taptoisis says at the end, because Mechamer is more chomor than the inyan of Shvisas Behemtoi. Toisis doesn't say in which respect it's more chomor. the Gilyan Asha says, look it up in Tshuvas HaRivosh. I didn't have the benefit of Tshuvas HaRivosh, but I think what the Rivosh says is that there's a difference between Shvisas Behema and Mechamer. Both of them, of course, are talking about that the animal works on Shabbos. An animal that belongs to a Jew works on Shabbos. The only difference in Shvisas Behemta means that the animal does it on its own without the Balabus saying anything. While in the case of Mechamer, it's of course the Balabus says, yes, Behema, take this Masoi and go around the block or do whatever you got to do. Or he says to the Behema, go and do Harisha on Shabbos. So that's really more Chomor. So in which respect it's more Chomor? L'choyr it's more Chomor because the Gemara says that you chayev chatzis. So apparently Shvisas Behemtoi, if an animal just does malacha without the das of the balabos, he's just carrying a masui around town without the balabos saying anything. Who does a harisha in the garden or in the field without the balabos saying anything? L'choyda, that's only an iser lav. There's no din of a chayev chatzis. Because of that, perhaps they would not have been gozer. But because Mechamer is Chayv Chatos, that rises to a level of a real heavy-duty Isser. That being the case, that's why the Aser don't go and sell any behemoth to a guy, because I'm worried about this Nisuni concern. We're going to get back to this shortly. Yes, question.
One client event, Erev Shabbos, a test line of a client. The government used to the client with a horse, not an animal, species every day of the year.
Many, I hear you loud and clear. The Gemara is saying not that, of course, Nisuni trying it out on Shabbos Avad is an Issa D'Oraisa. There's no question about that. Question is, should be Goyzer don't sell animals to a Goy because the Goy might go and because of the fact that I might close the transaction right before Shabbos? What's the likelihood of something like that happening? After all, you have 6 days. People want to go and buy and sell animals, let them come in on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And even if they want to come on Friday, Pinkty's going to come in 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's going to drag until Shkia. And then, in other words, it's a chashash, and the Gemara felt that this is strong enough to make a gzeira. Your case of the Kalayim apparently was not a dover motsui. Of Avadev, of course, it's possible that somebody's going to try to crossbreed between a cow and a horse. Avadev. But apparently this was not something that was done by the Goyim on a regular basis. Perhaps it happened once in 1,000 times, once in 100,000 times, and the Chacham felt that this is such a dover shloi shchiach that it was not worthy of making a gzera. Okay?
But I would say, just say, don't do business on Erev Shabbos after 2 p.m. Because if I were a Hevanit and I had somebody doing a big piece of business, come, you know, closing the stores, exchanging $1,000 into yen.
I think it's a wonderful idea. Presumably, it wasn't a major concern. In other words, probably most people did close their stores at 2 or 3 o'clock on Erev Shabbos, so they shouldn't have a problem. They can rush home. That this occurred is a rarity. It was enough for them to go and say, don't sell behemoths, but it wasn't enough to go and say that every Yidin Klal Yisrael is not allowed to go and do malacha beyond 2 o'clock, just because there's one Yid that sells animals that he has this problem from time to time. In other words, when the Chum made Exeter, they didn't try to make Exeter to make things difficult for people, they just want to make sure that people are not over Isurim. So to go and say that all cattle handlers that are selling animals, make sure that if you that don't sell it to a Goy, okay, so how many people in Klal Yisrael are the cattle handlers? Twice, 1 in 1,000, or whatever. So you're only affecting them. Mashiach came to go and say that every Yid in Klal Yisrael is now going to do malacha after 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, because there may be a cattle handler who's going to go and sell his animal right before Shkia, and there's going to be Nisuni. There are far more Yidin in Klal Yisrael than there are cattle handlers. I realize in those days, they probably, maybe there were more cattle handlers than we have today. But nevertheless, how many people in Klal Yisrael today sell cars for a living or rent cars? I'm not saying that there are no people. Of course, there are Jews that go and sell cars and lease cars. But most people are not involved in that business. So to go and make Gzeira across the board for all Yidden, that would be a little bit, Chum may have felt that that's a little bit too strong of a Gzeira.
But maybe someone will be so stubborn to go up to Shabbos because he's excited about meeting two different species. And so he's stubborn as a mule.
I'll try to understand that that a little bit later, because it's a little bit too profound for me. However, since we are talking about this inyan, there was a person, Mr. Mintz, I forget his first name now, Mr. Mintz, who came from the Haim, from Europe, he came to America in the 40s, maybe right after the war, 45, 46, 47, whatever, and he was in the yarn business, selling fabrics and yarns, and he moved, I believe, to Philadelphia, and he opened shop there was a fabric and yarn market in Philadelphia of a block or two, and everybody on that block was selling fabrics and yarns. Anyway, to cut a long story short, he opened up his store. He was an Erlich Chayid, and every Friday afternoon at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock, whatever it was, he closed shop and he went home. And all the other people in that line of work were all Jews who unfortunately either were religious at one time, but because of America, they became secular, or they were born secular Jews. And they all laughed at him, and they said, "Mintz, you don't realize, the biggest day for sales is on Shabbos, on Saturday. That's when everybody comes in to go and buy the fabrics in the yard. You're going to be out of business in 3 months. You're not going to make a penny." And he said, "I'm a Shomer Shabbos. Whatever the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants of me, that's what's going to be." So the story is told that several weeks after he opened up his store, a prominent goy came in, again 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and said he needs a major, major purchase of fabric and yarn, you know, a wholesale type of purchase, not just one or two pieces. We're talking about big, big funds, big, big amount. So as soon as they came in, Mr. Mintz said to them, "I give you 15 minutes to go look around the store, whatever you want, but after that I really have to close because it's almost Shabbos. You will do it quickly." Okay, by 3:15, guess what? They still had not finished. He says, "Chavra, I got two more minutes, and then after that, I got to run for the hills." Anyway, bottom line is, they walked around the store, and they said they are very, very interested, and they want to conclude the deal now. However, and they cannot wait, because they have to travel tonight. They have a flight, they have a bus, whatever it is. So he said, "I'm terribly sorry. Please come back on Sunday. If you can't, you can't, but I got to leave." He ushered them nicely out of the store, sayonara, locked up the store, and ran for the hills to be able to get in time for Shabbos. Anyway, they said to him, "You're making a big, big mistake, because this would have going to be a big deal, twice $5,000, $10,000, by Yom HaMahim, which of course today is would be a fortune. Oh, I can't do it, I can't help you, it's Shabbos, I got to run." Guess what? Sunday morning, he comes into the store, and the same people walk in at 9:30. "Hey, what happened? You were supposed to leave on a bus or a train or a plane." They said, "I want you to know, we were so impressed about your sincerity to your religion and your God. We said, this is the type of person we want to do business with." And they said, "We're going to stay over the weekend just to be able to go and buy the fabrics and the yarn from him on Sunday morning." And then he made that tremendous sale, and he was very happy. Fast forward, within 5 or 10 years, he had grown his business, grew so much, he was able to buy out the entire block, and he was the only remaining person in fabrics and yarns after several years. All the others either went bankrupt or sold out to him, and he was the only one that was standing. It's a published story. Yeah.
Was that a true story, or were you just spinning a yarn?
Shelley, that was great. That was great. And I'll just finalize with you one more story. This happened to me personally. I had a client, Jeff Burke. He was the vice president at what was called at that time Manny Hanny, Manufacturers Hanover Trust Company. Anyway, he told me, "David, we have a meeting on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and it's a very important meeting. We're going to go and meet with Bill Burles." Bill Burles was his counterpart at Chemical Bank. And he was at the same, they were both the head of the trust department. "We have a very important meeting." I said, Jeff, "I'm happy to be at the meeting, but Shabbos is early, it's winter time. I'm going to have to run out no later than, I think, 4 o'clock, I think it was, whatever it was." So he said, "Okay, you know, there's no problem, from 2 to 4, we got plenty of time." I said, "Sure." Well, anyway, we arrived at the meeting at 2 o'clock. Bill Brooks calls up, he's late at a closing, he's only going to be there 2:30. And the 2:30, of course, dragged on to 3 o'clock, and then 3:15, he shows up. And I told him, okay, nice to meet you. Well, first, 3:15, he had just rushed out of a closing, so he had to take a bite, or he had to go relieve himself. Anyway, we only started the meeting at 3:30. I said, Chevra, I got a half an hour, and then I'm out the door. Anyway, we started talking. 4 o'clock, we were not anywhere near the conclusion of our discussions and negotiations. I said, I have to leave. But David, I need you with this. At 4 o'clock, I have to leave. I told him, if I don't leave now, I'm going to be excommunicated by my rabbi. I got to leave. Anyway, I ran out the door, quickly got home. Baruch Hashem, I got there in time for Hoidi before Ashrei. Baruch Hashem. Anyway, Monday morning, I get a call from Jeff. David, you don't know what you did. It's terrible. And the bill was so disappointed. I said, Jeff, there's nothing I can do. That's the story. According to my religion, I had to go. Sorry. Sorry. Anyway, half a year later, a year later, Manny Hanny was sold lock, stock, and barrel to Chemical Bank. Chemical Bank was the successor to Manny Hanny. Mr. Jeff Burke was out of a job. Bill Brills took over the whole department, and then Bill became one of my best clients. From that point on, he was so impressed, I guess, about the not so much with my legal abilities, but with my devotion to the religion, and all new matters afterwards he sent to me, and so Baruch Hashem, we had nice panus. So now that we have that story behind us, let's go straight into the Gemara. So the Gemara has told us is that the chashash is mishum nisyuni, don't sell animals to goyim. Maskev lo Rav Shisha bar Ravidi, uschiris mikanya. You said that the reason is because of nisyuni, not because of schiris, and not because of she'ela. Why? Because she'ela and schiris, we said she'ela kanya and agra kanya. So the Gemara asked two kashas on that premise. Maskev Rav Shisha bar Ravidi, uschiris mikanya. What tanan? I have a mishnah. Af b'makiv she'omru lahaskir loy lebayis lebeis dira omru emneishem machnis letoicha avodis kechovim. What is this all about? So Rashi tells us that if you want to go and rent out real estate space to an idolater, a person that serves Avodah Zarah, there's a difference between Eretz Yisrael and between Chutz Laretz. What's the difference? We have in the Mishnah later on that Ein Maskirin Lehen Batim Eretz Yisrael. You're not allowed to go and rent or lease properties to an idolater in Eretz Yisrael. Avchutz Laretz Maskirin. What's the reason why you're not allowed to do it in Eretz Yisrael? If you recall, we had yesterday, there's a pasuk, loy sechonem, loy sitin lehem chaniya bakarka. You don't want to invite idolaters, oibde avodah zarah, into Eretz Yisrael. But that's loy sechonem in Eretz Yisrael, loy sitin lehem chaniya bakarka. However, in Chutz Laretz, it's a different story. Chutz Laretz is populated by oibde kachoven. So you're allowed to go and rent to them. However, says the Mishnah Vayta, even a chutz laretz, you're allowed to be masked. Loy lebeis dira amru, not for an apartment, for residential. Why? You know what he's going to do? One of the first things he's going to do is when he gets home, he's going to put up a big tzelem and a big Buddha and a big who knows what, one of his idols for avodah zarah. And therefore, and that's going to be on your property because you're leasing it to him. You don't want to have avodah zarah on your property, and therefore it's aser. Frey Timura, didn't you say a moment ago that Schiris is Kanya? That means it belongs to him. So for whatever the length of the lease is, whether it's for a day, for it's a week, if it's a year, doesn't make a difference. It belongs to the guy. So it's Avodah Zarah on the Oyved Avodah Zarah's property. What's the problem? Zok Timura, but Yisol Kadayta Schiris Kanya. When he brings the Avodah Zarah, he's bringing it into his own house. He's not bringing it to your house. He's bringing it to his house. And for the Gemara Shani Avodah Zarah, Chavon Dechamira, Dechsev Loisobi Te'eva El Toich Beisechal, El Beisechal. What does the Gemara mean to say? What the Gemara means to say is, you're right. In fact, Schiris is Koina. That it's not Koina 1,000%. It's only Koina 100%. The best Arai is that if and when this, if you're talking about an animal and it gets stolen or it gets lost, you got to pay for it. Who does he pay for it? He pays it to the original owner. What do you mean original owner? I thought that the Schiris is Kanya. There is no original owner. It doesn't mean he's Kanya 1,000%, because then if it gets lost, if it gets stolen, it's no longer the owner's headache. It's the headache of the Seicher, because it's his. It doesn't mean that it's his totally. But 99% it's his, because he has all of the legal and financial obligations. However, If 1% it's not his, don't bring it into, don't go and rent him residential to an idolater, because he's going to go and bring it up his kechavim, and because it's so chomor, okay, so this we were able to deflect that kasha. But I have another kasha. Maskot v'yitzchu b'reidra m'sharshi. U'schiris mikanya. Eschiris koyin. What the namot galent in the Mishnah. Yisroel shesochar porim mikoyin. Yachilena karshinei truma. The koyin shesochar porim mi'yisrael. Afo pishim as I say. Olav lo yachilena karshinei truma. We're talking about that a Yisrael rented a cow from a koyin. So it's a koyin's cow. Yachilena kashina truma. You're allowed to go and give kashina. Kashina is animal fodder. And you're allowed to give it even though it happens to be truma. How can you go and give it truma? The Yisrael was soiche the para. No problem, because the animal belongs to a koin. And vice versa. The koin shesocha para mi Yisrael. He rented out a para for Yisrael for lamushal for a month. Av bishim lezisei olav, part of the lease contract is that he's got to feed the para throughout that month. Don't feed it truma. Why can't he feed it truma? It's like a koyin. A koyin leased it. It's the his para. Schiris is taken, not koyin. And now that we say, schiris loikanya, getting back to our original question, why can you not sell a behemoth to a goy, to an idolater, to an oivet avodah zarah? So the Gemara said the reason is because it's a gezeira mishum nisyuni. There's no gezeira mishum she'ela v'agra, because once he shoil or he rents it or leases it, it belongs to him. Says the Gemara, I changed my mind. V'ashti amr schiris v'kanyi gezeira mishum schiris, u gezeira mishum she'ela, u gezeira mishum nisyuni. The reason why you cannot sell a behemoth to a goy doesn't have to be dafka oivet avodah zarah, because here we're talking about the Isser of Shabbos. We don't have to talk about that it's a 4 o'clock Friday afternoon situation of Nisyuni. The reason why you're not allowed to go and sell a behemoth to a goy is because you're not allowed to rent a behemoth to a goy, to lease one, to lend one, because the goy may work with it on Shabbos, and it belongs to a yid. So you said before, but if he's renting and he's leasing and it belongs to him. No, it doesn't belong to him. I see that it doesn't belong to him because if he's a koyin, he can't feed it, kashine truma. And if he's a Yisrael and the animal belongs to a koyin, then you can feed it, kashine truma. Is the chasimin that it's really not koyina after all. So now the Gemara tells us a story. So we've now concluded the first part of today's Gemara. We asked, why can't you go and sell a behemoth to a goy? And the problem is because gzeira mishum sheila schidus nisyuni. Now the Gemara tells us the story of Ada shora lizvune chamra ayoda disafsira. Rav Ada permitted selling a chamor to a goy when through a safsir. A safsir is what we would call today and a broker. So both the broker and the owner were both yidden. So Rav Ada didn't permit the owner to go and sell the chamor to a goy, but he permitted the broker to sell to a goy. But didn't we say we have a problem? Maybe this animal is going to work now on Shabbos. Don't we have the gzeira mishum nisyuni, mishum schiras, mishum sheila? So now the Gemara looks at each one individually. In mishum nisyuni, if we're afraid of this 4 o'clock Friday afternoon situation, you have nothing to worry about. Since it's only a broker, he doesn't really own the animal. So the animal, when he hears the broker saying, okay, Bahaima, go around the block with a masoi on your back to show how fit and how strong you are, the Bahaima is not going to move. But you're going to prod the Bahaima. The Bahaima is not moving. Why? Because it's a Bahaima. It's not going to move. Therefore, you don't have to worry about Nisyuni going and working for the broker on Shabbos. Since it doesn't belong to the broker, he doesn't have the authority to go and rent, to lease, to lend this animal. He only has the authority to go and sell the animal. If you have a house and you are trying to sell it and you hire a broker, please go and sell this house for me. If he can't go and find a buyer, can he on his own go and start renting it to someone or lending it to someone? He doesn't have the authority. This broker only had the authority to sell and not to rent and not to lease. The oid and nochazach bishum deloy nigli bay mumma. The broker is not interested in renting it, leasing it, or even nisyoni, that he should go and test it. Why? Because he's afraid that the person, the goy, who's going to go and take the animal, whether he's going to borrow it, buy it, whatever, he's going to discover that there, in fact, is a mum, that one of the feet is not straight, that the nose is crooked. This is a problem with this animal, and that being the case, he's not going to want to allow for a test drive. He's going to tell him, take it or leave it. This is my best deal possible. Do you want to go and take it? Gesundheit. But don't borrow, no leasing, no nisione. What you see is what you get. Period. So therefore, none of these concerns are raised, and that's why if you do it through a broker, it's mutalach, no problem. Rav Huna zavanahi para lo'ayvi kechov. Rav Huna himself sold a para to a goy. Can you imagine? Omle Rav Chizda. My tame ovid marhochi. Shteitach in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to. How, Rav Huna, you great Rav Huna, one of the greatest Amiroim, you're going and selling para to a goy, it's the Chamishnah. Amalei told him, Eimer l'shchita zavna. I was toile that the reason why the goy bought the animal is not to go and do malacha with the animal, but rather to go and shecht it. When we say shecht it, we don't mean shecht it literally, because a goy doesn't need to shecht his animals to go and eat them. He means for basar, for eating, and not for working. 1 second. Once you say that swara, then why does it say in the Mishnah you're not to go and sell the behema gasa to a goy? Why don't you say each time, let me toilet, aim l'shchita zavna, maybe he bought it for food. So the bottom Rashi already asks this kasha. The bottom Rashi says one of two answers. Other that our Mishnah, when it talks about behema gasa, it's talking about a behema tmeya, like a horse lamashul, or like a mule, a donkey. We're not talking about a behema toira. So then even the goyim did not eat horse meat, or donkey meat, or mule meat. Even today, I think there are very few goyim that do that. I guess maybe in the third world countries, maybe if they're very poor. But generally people, even goyim, don't eat that type of meat. So therefore you cannot be toile b'shchita, and therefore that's why it's awesome. Maybe our Mishnah is also talking about behemois tohairois. And in fact, if you look back at the Mishnah, it doesn't only talk about behemagas, it says, agolim usiyachim. An egla, that is, of course, is a young calf. So a young calf is kosher. So, Ibazoi, Freitach Limura, why don't we say in the Mishnah, you're allowed to go and sell a calf because Eimer l'shchita zavna. So the bottom, Rashi again addresses that. V'talim l'kula, umasiz mehima tamei afilu b'stoma. Inami b'tahoira, umemafarish lei oivikachovim delikiyum meikoi. The seller, when he's selling the animal to the goy, he says, and by the way, why are you buying this animal? He said, what do you think? You know why I'm buying it. I'm going to hold on to it. And if it's a young calf, I'm going to let it grow. And then when it grows in a year from now, I'm going to have a good, strong animal to go and do plowing in the garden or to go and schlep a masui from place to place. Ooh, if that's the case, he might work with this animal in Shabbos and it's awesome. However, if he's not mefarsh l'kiyumi koi, then says Rav Huna, you can make the assumption that he's going to use it for shechita. Use it for shechita, no problem. The Gemara is not happy with this. The Gemara asks a whole bunch of kashas. Frei Gemara, we're top of Tesvav Amid Beis. Umina Teimra de Amrinan ki haigavna. Where do you see that you can be toile and be mekel? I mean, after all, I don't know if it's 50-50, but there's certainly a good chance that this goy is buying the animal to work on Shabbos or to work during the week and then work on Shabbos. Why do you automatically assume that it's for shechita purposes? Tomorrow I'll tell you why. Did not have a befeirish mishnah, says Rav Huna. What is this all about? It is now Shemitah year. And you have a person who is choshud al hashvius, a person who unfortunately is not makbid on Hilchei Shemitah, and he comes into your store and he says, I want to buy a parah from you. And when the seller hears that, he says, holy cow, You know why he wants to buy the para? Maybe because he wants to go and use it for Harisha now during Shemitah year. Says Beishamai lo yimkar, don't sell him a para hachireshes that knows how to do Harisha in Shemitah year, because I'm afraid I'm going to be over on Lifnei Iver. I'm selling this para, not to a goy. I'm selling it to a Jew who's choshed al hashviyas. Maybe he's going to work with this para in the garden, in the field, during Shemitah year. Don't sell it. Beisil says, I am Mekel, Matirin, Nishiyocha l'shoichter. Who says that he's buying the para for Harisha b'shviyas? Maybe the reason is he's making a big party, making a big wedding, and he needs a large para, and that's why he's buying it for Shechita purposes. So you see, according to Beis Hillel, and of course we paskin like Beis Hillel, that you are toila, that when a person buys an animal, he's doing it for Shechita. So just like by Shemitah, we rely on this being toila, so too, the Gabi Hilchei Shabbos, I am toila, that the reason why the goy is buying it is not for working on Shabbos, unless he tells me the Feder, he wants him to mekayim it, but otherwise I can assume he's going to use it for Shechita. So l'choyra have a good teraya from Hilchei Shemitah. However, Omer Rabba, and there's another girsa, Omer Rava, we're going to talk about that later on. Mi dami, how can you compare Shabbos to Shemitah? Hasam ein odem mitzvah shvisas behemtoi b'shvias. When it comes Shemitah year, there is no din of laman yenuach shorcha v'chamirecha, p'sa din of shvisas behema, a din of machamer in shvias. But when it comes to Shabbos, odem mitzvah shvisas behemtoi b'shabbos. In other words, the issa that we're talking about the parah on Shabbos, is 10 times more chomer than the din of Shemitah. Shemitah is only, to use one of Barry's favorite expressions, Shemitah is only an iser on the gavra when it comes to doing work in Shemitah year. The person is not allowed to go and work in the fields, whether it's Harisho, Ktsiro, Uzriya. You, person, don't do it. If your para goes around and starts on its own doing Harisha, I don't think you have to stop the para. The para is doing it on its own. There's no din of shvisas behemtoi. Mashenkin Shabbos is much more chomer. You're not allowed to have your animal go and do work for you on Shabbos. Oy, 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 bazoi. Maybe by Shabbos, since it's so chomer, you cannot be toilet that this goy is using it for eating. I have to assume that he's going to use it for working in the field. Mashenkin Shemitah, there I can be toilet. Maybe he's using it for Shechita purposes. So what's the dimyon? Mi dami hasam ein anu mitzvah shvi'is behemtoi shvi'is. Hachad mitzvah shvi'is behemtoi b'shabbos. That was Rabba's retort to Rav Huna. Rav Huna that said, you're allowed to go, and not only he said you're allowed to, he himself sold a part of the Oivik Chavim based on Eimel Shechita Zavna. Says, Rabba, I don't see the heter. By Shemitah we found the heter. However, the Gabi Shabbos, a heter, chas v'sholem. Omli Abayis. So Abayis says, so now, what Rabbi has done is he's making a difference between the din of Shvisas Behema on Shabbos, where it's Asur, and Shvisas Behema on Shvias in Shmittier, where it's totally Mutter. So Gemara is going to ask a kasha now, two kashas now, on Rabba from both directions. What's the two directions? Omli Abayis. V'chol heicha di odem mitzuva Asur. Are you telling me where there is a tziva on the person, not only the Gabi himself, but also legabe, for instance, shvisas behemtoi. Then you're telling me it's osir, you cannot rely on emor l'shchita zavna. Varisada, the other mitzvah shvisas sodeu b'shvias. Wow. Just like there's a din of shvisas behemtoi, there's a din of shvisas soda. It's not only that you, the gavra, are not allowed to go and do malacha in the field on Shemitah, but if you own a field, you have to be careful that the field doesn't do malacha. Field does malacha. What are you talking about? Says Rashi, yo, yo, shteitach and posik. When it comes 7th year, shnas shabos on yil aret. And if you own that aret, you have to enforce that the shnas shabos on, that this field doesn't do any malach. In other words, don't be zayreya or don't be chodesh the field, because then it's going to start producing produce, whether it's vegetables or fruit or whatever. You're not going to do that because the Sode, the Oretz has to rest, and if it's your Oretz, you have to make sure you have a mitzvah on Shvisa Sadeu, says Rashi. Shnasha Bosan Yila Oretz. Therefore, says Abaye, Chalheicha, the other mitzvah asur. Varisad, the other mitzvah shvisa, sadeu bishvis. Utanan, what do we learn in the Mishnah? Beishami amim layimkar odam sadei near. Stay near bishvis. Stay near means a plowed field. In other words, the field was already plowed from before Shemitah. And if you want to sell that to someone who's choshed al HaShemitah, don't. Don't sell it to him. Because what's the likelihood? The reason why he bought a plowed field is because tomorrow he's going to go and bring seed, and he's going to seed the field in Shemitah year. Don't do it. Just because it was plowed doesn't mean it's going to be planted this year. It could be that he bought the field with the intention of only planting it next year. Why is he buying it so early? Why didn't he wait for a year? Well, two reasons. Number one, not every day of the week is real estate available. You buy it when it's available. If it's not available, you can't buy it. So now that this sod is available at a nice price, I want to buy it, not to go and work on it now, to work on it after Shemitah. But besides that, there's another good reason. As we've had in other Gemaras, the custom of those that own fields, and perhaps that's the custom today, I don't know, that they used to go and leave it fallow every other year or every third year or whatever, so that the land could go and regrow its nutrients. By using it year after year after year, eventually all the nutrients, all the minerals are taken away by the produce that is produced by the land. So they would leave it bare for a year or two or whatever, every other year, every third year, so that it would refresh itself, rejuvenate itself, and then the next year, the peiris and the vegetables would come out so much more nutritious and better and be beautiful and blah, blah, blah. So therefore, says Basil, I'm allowed to be toile. So you see, says Abaye to Rabba, or to Rava, as we'll see shortly, you do have the heter even when there is a din of shvisa, right? Rabba says, how can you compare the halacha of selling a par in Shemitah to the case of par on Shabbos? Par on Shabbos, the chdin of Shvisa behemtai. Therefore, it should be awesome. Case of Shvisa behemtai b'shvias, there's no such din of Shvisa behemtai shvias. That's why it's mutter. That's why you can be toilet. So, Zabaya, no, I'll show you that even the case where Shvisa is awesome, like Shvisa sa'aretz is awesome, nevertheless says, Basil, you can be matter, you can be toilet, and neshi yachal ha'ivira. So, therefore, the Chayre Rabba, that you say, that person's mitzvah, al Shvisa behemtai b'shabbos, and that's why it's Shaykh to make a gzera. Person has a din of shvisa sa'aretz in shvias, and we're not goyzer according to Beis Hillel. Masl Ramashi, now Rav Ashi asks from the other direction. V'chalhecha di ain od mitzvah, it's shari. You're telling me, again, Rabbi made a distinction between your mitzvah and nish mitzvah. Mitzvah on shvisas behemtoi, ain mitzvah shvisas behemtoi, between Shabbos and Shemitah. So Abaye already challenged Abaye from the fact, you're telling me wherever there's a Shvisa's behemtai issue, then you're telling me it would be osir. You can't be toile that he's doing in the shem shchita. No, I see there's a case of Shvisa's sodeu in shmita, and I'm still toile. Ravashi asked now from the other direction, v'chalecha de ein odem mitzuvah, where there is no tzivoy, like Shvisa's behemtai in shmita. You're telling me, shari, then it's mutter, you can be toile. Vari kelim de ein odem mitzuvah Shvisa's kelim b'shvias, what happens? Shvisa's kelim. The kelim that we're talking about are the type of farm implements and instruments that you would use as part of plowing and part of ktsira and part of working in the field. So certainly there's no din on kelim, just like you're allowed to, you have no din. If your para strays and does work in shmittah year in your field, there's no iser on you, there's no din of shvisa behemtai. There's a din of shvisa sa'aretz. Yeah, aretz. Make sure that the aretz remains shvisa. There's no problem with your behema. There's no problem with your kelim. Utanan. Eilein kelim she'ein on the mishor l'moicher mishvias. You're now going to go and sell the following kelim in shmitir. Hamachresha, that's a plow. V'chol kelel and all of its accessories, like oil, which is a yoke. V'hamezora v'hadeker. A mezora is a shovel. V'hadeker is a hoe. All of these things you use together when you're plowing. You're not allowed to sell them in shmitir. Why can't you sell them in Shemitah? There's no din of Shvisas Kalim. So you see that even though there is no din of Shvisas Kalim, if I sell it to a person who's choshed al HaShvias, he might come to use them. And so there's a din of lifnei iver, even if you don't have a din of shvisas kelim. So therefore, l'choyre, the distinction that Rabbah made is challenged from both sides. You're saying you can only be toila when there's no din of shvisas kelim, or shvisas behemtai. Here there's no din of shvisas kelim, and I'm not toila. What would I be toila with the machresha? He's buying it a year early when it's brand new, and he's going to use it next year. No, no. You don't have Basil saying, yeah, you could tell that I'm toila is going to use it for next year. No, no. You're not toila, even though it's a dover, there's no din of shvisa. And we challenge him from the other side, legabe the shvisa sedeyu, where we said you can be, you can sell it. Why? I can be toila. It's Elam Ravashi. Therefore, Ravashi says, Rabbah, I respectfully disagree. Kol heicha de'ikol mitla talinan. If there is a good svara to be toila, you can be toila. Afal gam viafal gam de mitzuba. Kol heicha de'lekol misli. Where there's no good svara to be toila, loy talinan. Afal gam the ena mitzuba. In other words, being toila not mitoila has nothing to do with mitzuba and ena mitzuba. It really has to do with, is it a logical type of svara? If it's logical, l'mushul, I'm selling an animal. I'm not saying that everybody that buys an animal buys it for meat, but at least 10%, 20%, 50% of the people out there buy animals to go because they want to make a mishta libnoi. They want to go and make, for whatever reason, that's why he wants a shechtan. We're not talking about an avodah zarah situation. We're only concerned that he's going to use the animal in Shabbos. Who says he's going to use the animal in Shabbos? Maybe he's buying it for a feast. So then if you can be toilet, you can be toilet. When can you not be toila? L'mushal, the case of the kelim, says Rashi, because kelim are readily available at all times. There are stores. Real estate is not readily available. That's why people, when they see a bargain or they see that a piece of property is available, they run to the broker, they run to the seller, I'd like to buy it. But kelim, says Rashi, there are kelim stores where you can buy plows of all different sizes and shapes and sizes, and you can buy shovels and hoes. These are readily available. Why would he be buying it now in Shemitah year? Wait until next year and save your money, invest it in some sort of a good interest-bearing investment, and therefore you don't have nothing to worry about and earn a couple of dollars over the year. So therefore, where you can be toilet, says Ravashi, it makes no difference whether your mitzvah, nish mitzvah, be toilet. Where you cannot be toilet, where it's illogical to be toilet, then leitalina, avagav de'ena mitzvah. So we finished that shtickle. And now we have a new shtickle. Rabba zoven ha'u chama li Yisrael ha'choshed limkar li oivet kechavim. Rabba went and sold a chamor to a Yisrael that Yisrael on his own, chas v'sholom, would not do any work on Shabbos. However, he sold it to the Yisrael, presumably at a wholesale price, knowing that this Yisrael may go and sell the same animal, the same chamor, to a goy. And what's the goy going to do with it? He's going to work on Shabbos. Here there's no svara to say, like we said on the Omer Aleph, maybe he's using it lishchita, because even the goyim typically did not eat donkey meat. So why would a goy buy a chamar? To work with the chamar, right? Either work in the field, or to go and schlep freight from place to place. And he's going to do it on Shabbos. Who cares? It belongs to a goy. Don't you remember our Mishnah? You're not allowed to go and sell a behemah gasa to a goy. Why can't you? Because he's going to work on Shabbos. He bought it. Gzeira mishum she'ela. Gzeira mishum schiris. Gzeira mishum nisyuni. So how could Rabbi do it? Amalei Abaye, maitam ovid marhochi. How are you allowed to do that? Amalei, anoli Yisrael zvini. I sold it to a yid. I didn't sell it to a goy. And this yid I know it. I sit with him in Bismedish every Shabbos, and he davens so beautifully. He doesn't do work on Shabbos. He has a lot of customers, and it's likely he's going to go and sell this animal to a goy. And this goy is going to work with it on Shabbos. Look what you've done. Tell me, he only sells to goyim. He doesn't go and sell to yidin. He sells it to yidin too. I don't know whether his Yiddish customers were 10% or 20% or 50%, but I can be toiler, says Rabbah. What, you could be toiler? Didn't Rabbah say in the fourth line, you can't be toiler? That was Rabbah's crying call. B'Shabbos, how can you be toiler? L'choyre shver kasha rabba on himself. Toysis makes this kasha, and Toysis at the end says, that's why there was the other girsa on top, not rabba, but rava. Once is another girsa, no problem, that was rabba. This is rabba, two separate people. Toysis gives other answers as well. Toysis says it could be that after this whole discussion, Rav Ashi convinced rabba that you can be toila even where you're mitzvah. That's what Rav Ashi just got finished saying. Rabba thought about it. Rabba says, you know, Rav Ashi, you're 100% right. And therefore, Rabba changed his mind. That's why Rabba himself now started selling chamoyrim even to Yisrael. The Yid might sell it to another guy, but he might sell it to another Yid. So therefore, I can be toila, like Rav Ashi said, you can be toila after all. You're telling me you can be toila, then instead of selling to a guy, he's going to sell it to a Yid. I have another kasha now. We're talking now about kusim. We're going to come back to regular idolaters, regular goyim, in a moment. We all know what kusim are, machloikis, geirei arayis, or they were geirei emes, but we're not going to go into all of those details. All we're going to see in our Gemara is that kusim were far more menschlich, if you will, much more ethical and moral in their behavior than the pagans of that time. As we'll see. Eisvei. Mokin shenoga limkar vehim bedaka lekusim. Those places where the minig was to sell, moichrin, you're allowed to sell. Shaloi limkar, ain't moichrin. Were you, they were not, where the minig was not to sell, don't sell. Now my timer. Now this halacha, of course, we have at the beginning of our Mishnah, which we learned about yesterday. Mokin shenoga limkar vehim bedaka leoivid kechavim moichrin. Shaloi limkar, ain't moichrin. And what was the reason that we gave yesterday? And we spoke about this at the beginning of today's shir, is because of the chash of revia that a goy might come and live with the animal. So tomorrow, by kusim, there is no such concern. Why are there certain mekoymois that you're not allowed to go and sell a behem bedaka to a kusim? Ilay mishem lechashidi a revia. Do they have the same chashad of living with their animals just like the goyim? Like the idolaters, umi chashidi, is there such a chash? Vatanya befeish a brisa. We brought this brisa already yesterday. Ein mamin behem pentagoy shall oiv dikchavim. You're not allowed to be mamid. In other words, if you decide to go and rent a room at a pundak, at an inn, at a motel, and you want to leave your behema overnight in the parking lot of the hotel, don't do it if the hotel belongs to goyim or if a lot of the guests are goyim. You know why? Because I'm afraid that overnight, one or two or three goyim are going to go and live with your animal. So you're going to be over on lifnei iver. What's a lifnei iver? A goy is mitzvah on revia. It's gili arayis, one of the seven mitzvah b'nei noyach. So therefore, you cannot facilitate it by leaving your behema in that pundak. So, ein mami. Now, continues the braisa. Zechorim eitzel zechorim unekevis eitzel nekevis. The goyim were so depraved when they lived with the animal, they were not makbid, that if you're talking about a male idolater, a male pagan, dafka to live with a female behema, he was willing to live with a male behema. And probably the Sunday after that, he probably went and he participated in the pride parade. And you also not leave nekevis eitzel nekevis. Now, nekevis doesn't mean that I'm afraid that a goita, a Gentile woman, is going to live with a nekeva animal. That apparently is not a problem. The problem, says Rashi, is that even though you feel comfortable, since all the people here are basically women, so I can leave with my animal, which is nekeva, with the women. No, I have to be worried. Because, says Rashi, the pagans very often allowed their fellows, their friends, to live with their pagan's wife. In other words, to commit adultery. This apparently was something which was a frequent situation, and they were not makpid on nishei chavirein. Now, what happens if a goy comes to this hotel, to this place, he knocks on the door expecting to find Mrs. Smith there and to engage in znus, and she's not there? And he is so disappointed. He's brokenhearted. What am I going to do? that Mrs. Smith is not here to go and commit adultery. Oh, Chabanaitse. Outside in the parking lot, I see there's some female behemoths. Okay, if I can't get a female woman, I'll take a female behemoth, you know, b'shas l'chak. Therefore, don't leave in the cave, it's in the cave. Don't leave in the cave because you're really enticing them. And even scharim eitz on the cave is because, in fact, the goitzes would live with male behemoths. They didn't live with female behemoths. That crazy they weren't. But a goite would live with a male behemoth. And therefore, don't do it. We're talking about oivdei kechavim. If you have your own behemoth and you want to hire a shepherd, don't leave your behemoth with a non-Jewish shepherd. Because again, the shepherd, being a goy, he will want to live with that behemoth. And now we're not talking about behemoths, now we're talking about people. Do not go and rent an apartment or room together with a goy. Doesn't have to be renting an apartment. Don't do yichud with a goy in the same room. Not because we're worried about aroyis, because presumably the Jew can defend himself or push away the goy, but because of shvichas damim, if you're together with the goy, rachman al islan, who knows what can happen? Rabbi Yisai, we're all witness to our good friend Yitzchak that went to Turkey and rented a room by a goy, and unfortunately did not come back because goyim are choshen shvichas damim. Not saying every goy everywhere in the world, but at least in Turkey we know this happened. Only a couple of several weeks ago. And the times of Chazal, Ein Misyachten and Imoyim, for that, Rashi, I'm not making it up. You see, Rashi, Ein Misyachten, Zudrashi, Misyachten and Imoyim, Rashi is parallel to our Gemara, Shechoshet al Shvichas Domen. Vein Moisim hem tinnik lelamdi sefer lelamdi omnis. And don't give them a tinnik to go and teach them. Now we're not worried about Shvichas Domen, but we're worried about, says Rashi, Minus. And there could also be a consideration about Mishkav Zohar with the taking these children to go and even if he give them to a male teacher, Mishkav Zohar or Minas. Oh, so this is all referring to Akum. Now we go to the second part of the Brisa. Avol mamidim behemah b'tegoyis shel kusim. Zcharim eitzel in the cave is in the cave is eitzel zcharim. Vein tzarech loyim is zcharim eitzel zcharim in the cave is eitzel in the cave. I'm not worried about revia by kusim. You can go and give them a behemah to a kusi roya. I'm not worried he's going to live with the animal. And you are allowed to go and be misyachid with a kusi. You don't have to worry about shvichas damin. I don't have to worry about a concern of minus of kfira, and I don't have to worry about mishkav zacher. Alma, so I see loy chashidi that when it comes to a kusi, he's not choshed on revere. For oitan, you have another brisa. Ein moichel lehem leizayin v'leiklei zayin v'mashchisin lehen es hazayin ein moichel lehem leisadim v'lekolorim v'lekavolim v'leishosheloi shel barzel echad oivikachom v'echad kusi. I'm not allowed to go and sell either to an oivikachom a pagan or to a kusi. I'm not allowed to sell them zayin. Zayin means weapons. Klei zayin, says Rashi, is the accessory to a weapon. For instance, if I'm selling him a sword or a spear, that would be Zion. The clay Zion, says Rashi, is the base yad l'roimach. If you're talking about a spear, talking about the handle on the spear. The handles are typically made out of a different material, either another metal or a piece of wood, but it wouldn't be the same spear itself. And when you're talking about a scythe, which is a sword, a nadon is a sheath, that's where you hold the sword. You're not allowed to sell that. You're not allowed to go and sharpen for it. If you happen to be a person that has sharpeners, you see it even nowadays in the rural communities that people go around with such sharpening machines for people that want to sharpen their knives. You're not allowed to go and allow them to sharpen their kli zayin. Now these are all different types of things to hold the person in place. A sadan, says Rashi, is similar to handcuffs, but if you don't put it on the hands, you put it on the legs. A coiler is you put it around the neck. It maybe comes from the same word as the English word collar. You put it around the collar, around the neck of a person. For like kavolim leshashalois, these are thick ropes or chains. You now let it go and sell them side to an evichom, side to a kusi. My timer. Why not? Why can't you go and sell the clay side? Mele a goy, a pagan. A bakusi is choshen shvichas vam. Amris meyachter imohen. We said before, there's no chash of shvichas vam. El mishum de osil de zvuni la'ayve kechavim. Ah, that's the problem. The problem is, I'm not worried about the kusi himself. What I'm worried about is the kusi may take, for instance, the clay zayin, and he's going to go and sell it to ayve kechavim. Or, in the case of the behemoth, we only focused on behemoth daka. Says Rashi, since we said that you're not allowed to sell even a behema daka to a kusi in certain mekoymis, al achas kama v'kama, you cannot sell a behema gasa anywhere, like we said in our Mishnah. So you cannot go and sell a behema gasa to a kusi. Why not? Didn't we say that the kusis are much more menschlich than the akum? And the problem is, mishum de'osel ezvun lo'evik chavim. The problem is that the kusi, he might not use it himself, the animal on Shabbos. Or he's not going to use the clay zayin himself to chas v'shalom kill somebody. But he might go and sell it to a goy. And therefore, why did Rabba go and sell a chamor to Yisrael, who's choshed limka lo'evik chavim? And you say, well, the reason is because who says he's going to sell it to a goy? He's going to sell it maybe to another yid. Says our Gemara, who says you have the right to be toila that he's going to go and sell it to another yid? You see that when by these kusim, you're not allowed to go and sell them a hema gasa. Not he himself is going to work with it, because he might sell it to a goy. So why don't you say the same thing? Maybe he'll sell it to a yid. V'chitayim a kusi le'ovit tshuva. Yisrael ovit tshuva. By a kusi, even though he himself is not going to work with the animal on Shabbos, however, he might in fact sell it to a goy. And even if you tell him you're not allowed to sell it to a goy, after all, the kusi is not a yid, ovit tshuva. He may not follow what we tell him, don't go and sell it. So that's what he said, don't sell whatsoever. How will Yisrael offer tshuva? What means offer tshuva? That if I tell him, Mr. Yid, I know that unfortunately you have goyish customers, and therefore you might go and resell this animal to a goy, and he's going to work on it on Shabbos, but I don't want you to do that, I beg you. I'm selling you this animal out tonight, don't go and sell it to a goy. Sell it to a fellow yid. Ah, so maybe that's the reason why Rabba was Mekel. And so therefore, you, Rabba, unfortunately, or Rava, depending on the Girsa, you're being over on what Rav Nachman paskind. Do you want to go and defy Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman, after all, was the great poisik of his dori, was the Chadban, head of the Batidinim. And forgetting about Rav Nachman, all of the prices that we just brought now, they're just like we tell a kusi is not allowed to go and buy something, or you're not allowed to sell to a kusi a behema, because I'm worried about that he's going to go and sell it to a goy who's going to use it on Shabbos. No, so how did Rabba do this? We see from the brayis that it's prohibited. And even if you want to make a distinction between kusi le'ovetshuva, Yisrael le'ovetshuva, we see Rav Nachman says very clearly, Aser limkar li'Yisrael ha'chashel limkar li'ayvik ha'chavim. Rabba heard all of this, and Rabba says, I changed my mind. I'm sorry about what I did. And what did he do? Roid basrei, he ran and ran and ran after that original Jew, who's chashel limkar li'ayvik ha'chavim. He ran after him, t'losa parsi. Three parsois. That's a huge amount, Rabbi Say. A parsa is 4 mil. A mil is 2,000 amas. So therefore you're talking about 8,000 amas in a parsa. 8,000 amas, according to Chazon Ish, is 16,000 feet, which is roughly 3 miles. Now you're talking about three parsa, you're talking about 9 miles. He's running after the goy 9 miles. Not after the goy. After the yid, as choshed limkar l'ayvik chavim. The ik of the army, others say he only ran a parsa, but he ran a parsa b'chala. Chala means in sand. Not the same as running on a road where you're able to run. You're running in sand, you quickly fall into the sand every single moment. For the adrochein, unfortunately, he did not catch him. In other words, Rabba tried his best to reverse the sail and get the animal back. Unfortunately, he missed his opportunity. Zokimar, Amr Dima Bar Abba, Kedar She'osalim Kol Oivik Echovim, Osalim Kol Listim Yisrael. Just like you're now let it go and sell all of those weapons that we spoke about before to a goy, because I'm afraid the goy is going to go and use these these weapons, and that would be, you would be a lifnei iver, oiver lifnei iver, of course, of shvichas damim. Also limka lelistim Yisrael. He also cannot go and sell it to a Jewish highway robber, because he may use it for the same purpose. If this highway robber, in fact, unfortunately, is choshed on shvichas damim, pshita and avicham. Do we care whether it's a pagan, whether it's a Buddhist, whether it's a Catholic, whether it's a Jew? If you're talking about that these people are killers, so what difference does it make? Of course, you're not allowed to go and sell him weapons. Lifnei iver shvichas damim. V'idloi kotel. If you're telling me he's not a robber, but he's not a killer, so my loy, why can't you go and sell him the weapons? Hitaka was not a killer. The problem is mashmuta. What means mashmuta? A listim that stole money from the owner and he's running. And guess what? The owner is running after him. The zimnan the ovid latzulei nafshe. Sometimes he's going to use the weapons to go and save his life. In other words, he doesn't use these weapons lechatchila because he's a robber. He's not a killer. But he might use the weapons b'di'eved if they're running after him to arrest him or to go and kill him. That's the reason why. Not only can you not sell these klei zayin to an oiv kechovim, you're not even sell it to a Yisrael who is a listim. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Mention to be continued tomorrow. For those of you that didn't hear because